Wake up, world. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Today on the special edition of the AV Podcast, we present to you the NBA Playoff Preview Special. Like last year, I bring on Randall Walter, head coach of Team Breakdown's AAU basketball program, as we preview each series from the first round of the NBA playoffs. This podcast today is part of your balanced breakfast. It's as important as your bowl of cereal you're having right now. So make sure you listen to us wisely. Don't worry, I'm usually not this energetic in the morning. I just keep listening. And can you put the kettle on? I kind of want some tea. Thank you. And while you're plugging in that kettle, I wanted to let you know that South Sharav is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you weren't already aware, we're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, as well as Google Podcasts. And make sure you listen and subscribe, rate and review the shows as well, too. And just a reminder, next week we'll be starting the Raptors post-game podcast from Game 2 of the series against Orlando, so make sure you tune into that. And less than a week from now, on Good Friday, the second episode of My Story featuring Zaria Santiago, the Canadian track and field phenom, will be released. She's going to be sharing her story of the beginnings of her track career right up until now, where she's currently in her sophomore season at University of Maryland. So make sure you stay tuned for all of that. And to listen to the rest of my podcast catalog, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAV.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAV.com. It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore AV Radio. Good morning.
Welcome to the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore AV Radio.
Welcome to the AV Podcast. My guest for this podcast is my guest from last year's playoff podcast. He was last on the State of the Raptors address, and he has officially built up his portfolio so high from being the CEO of Team Lightskin that he's contemplating whether or not to run against Trudeau in the next election or go across the border and go against Trump in 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners of the podcast, please welcome Randall Walter to the show.
Damn, I thought you were going to tell me I was going to go against Drake or something. You told me against the big guns?
Yeah. You ready for it now? I forgot he's the head coach of Team Breakdown, the AAU basketball program.
That has to come first, man. You got to give the respect.
My bad. I'm sorry. All right, so we're here to break down each playoff series while you eat your breakfast or your brunch. I like my eggs sunny side up, so please keep the edges crispy in case you're asking. And other than that, all I ask for you is to please enjoy this episode. All right, let's go from here. You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, so we're going to start with the Western Conference first. We'll save the Raptors for last, being that they're the hometown team like we did last year. So we'll start with the Western Conference. We're going to go with the Golden State Warriors versus the Los Angeles Clippers. Here's the question I'll ask you. So basically, we know that this series is going to be a sweep. With that said, what do you want to see from the Clippers that's going to keep you satisfied as a basketball fan?
I don't think it necessarily will be a sweep. I mean, we all know that Golden State will win. But I think the synergies that the Clippers have right now is at another level. I mean, they got something special brewing, and they're playing as a unit. It's kind of like I consider them. Remember back in the day when the Detroit Pistons came out of the East with, you know, the whole Chauncey Billups era?
Mm-hmm. Ben Wallace.
You know, and all that. And they initially made the playoffs. People were, like, wary. Like, even though they were playing good ball, they were like, well, I'm not sure. But that the synergies that teams had forged was really big. I think Doc has something special going on there. And, you know, I'm excited to see Shea Alexander and see, you know, this is a great step in his career, you know, as a rookie going into the playoffs. And I think that he has a great runway to be a great point guard in the league for the future. And we'll see what happens. You know, I mean, obviously we all know that Golden State is kind of the beast in the West, and no one's really, in my eyes, going to knock them off, but it's exciting to see that matchup in the first round.
Yeah, I just to touch on your point with Gilgeous Alexander, I think him gaining playoff experience is super vital to his career. If you're going to get thrown into the fire, it may as well be against one of the best teams in NBA history just to see where you stand. So I think that's going to be incredible for his development going forward. I just want to see them put up a fight. Like, and they got some dogs, you know, at least to do that. Like, they got, you know, obviously Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, Gallinari, he's got that cockiness in him that, you know, he's not going to be afraid of the moment. You know, you got Lou Will. He's going to be Lou Will. You know, they're well coached by Doc Rivers. And, you know, like Brooklyn, I really love what they're doing as an organization as well. Picking up guys like Shamet and Zubac from the Lakers. They stole him from the Lakers. But all that potential obviously means nothing in this series, unfortunately. But you know, the potential ain't going to help them for the next week. But I just want to see them put up a fight. Golden State right now is, you know, they're about to go into playoff mode right now. DeMarcus Cousins is going to be his first playoff series. I think that one out of – actually, no, this is going to be his first playoff series. He's never been in the playoffs before. Yeah,
never.
So I think the biggest thing with him is just seeing how he handles the temperament of the playoffs, because, you know, that intensity is real. And he's shown to have, you know, very unstable emotional issues when he's playing on the floor on a regular season level. So I want to see how it's going to stand on this level now in terms of, like, this, you know, the playoffs is just a different beast. You know what I mean? So I want to see how he handles his temperament. Like, you know, I mean, he's done a pretty good job so far, but I just want to see how he controls his pace in this instance. But I mean, outside of that, just, I guess, to answer my own question, the biggest thing I want to see is if the Clippers put up a fight.
Yeah, they got nothing to lose.
No.
Right. So, no. I mean, there's no expectations for them. So they can only go out there and just ball. And Doc, you know what? He's done a great job in the past coaching up teams to just do that. So, it's definitely going to be exciting.
Who's your X factor in the series? I guess to throw that question out to you. Is there an X factor for you?
My X factor definitely is, it has to be Gallinari. If Gallinari can step up his game a little bit, I think they can pull off maybe a win. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone knows what all the rest can do, but Gallinari has always been spotty to me. But if he comes and he's a little bit more consistent, you know what? It can help, you know, put him, at least give him a fighting chance.
So you're calling Golden State in five?
Yeah, I would say Golden State in five.
Okay.
Either sweep or five.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm not even giving the Clippers a game. I'd like to, but I don't have the heart to do it. I'm lying to myself if I do that. but I just think, I just don't see it. I just don't see how they're gonna do it. But like I said, I think my X factor is just, well, actually, I don't really have an X factor outside of, I guess the only thing really, I just want to see how Shai does. That's like the biggest thing. I want to see how he handles his playoff pressure. Just for future reference, I have that in his back pocket. I think it's that's spectacular for him that he's going to be going through that. All right, so next up we got San Antonio Spurs versus the Denver Nuggets. Here's the question I'll ask you, Randall. Do you think DeMar DeRozan shakes his playoff reputation in this series? And if he does, will anybody care?
You know what? I think both teams are entering the unknown. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you something. I honestly think that the Spurs can pull this one off.
Really?
I do.
Okay.
They're riding on a wave right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Denver has the moxie right now to go far in the playoffs. Mm. They have a great team.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, they're like the Raptors of the West. Great regular season team, but they're improving in the playoffs.
Right.
And I don't know if they have that experience yet to kind of make that surge where you got some veterans over at San Antonio that have some stuff to prove, and you got a great coach there to help.
I guess to answer my own question, to start off, I would say, yeah, nobody's going to care if DeRozan breaks that playoff reputation unless they do what you're thinking they're going to do and upset Denver. And it is possible. I actually think it's going to be a close series. I think the issue that I think San Antonio is going to have is that obviously they play well together. They make very few mistakes. If Patty Mills is playing well, usually that means they're going to win for the most part. But I think at this, you know, and then going back to obviously, you know, the trade between with Kawhi and DeMar, like DeMar's a good replacement for Kawhi, but he's not Kawhi. Like he's an all-star like LaMarcus. But I think in the West, you need your best players to be superstars right now. And I don't know if I see them doing that long enough for it to matter, which is unfortunate because, like you, I agree. Like I think out of the top teams in the league, due to their playoff and experiences, I think they're the most vulnerable for an upset. I just don't know if they have enough horses to get it done. But With that said, I think regular season, you know that saying, how this, what the saying goes, regular season is where you make your name and the playoffs is where you make your fame. I think Jamal Murray is going to do his best to be famous because I think he's got the personality to thrive on this stage. And I really believe like he can elevate his status this spring. Like he's built for this. Like I think he's one of those irrational, confident guys that like, I think they can. There's always that one player or two that comes along, their first playoff experience, and you saw it like, you know, remember like 5-6 years ago with Steph, when he popped up on the scene his first playoff series and he just went bananas. Like I'm not saying he's gonna do that, but you always, there's always that one guy that comes in and just surprises you. I thought last year that was kind of Donovan Mitchell, so I'm kind of predicting he might be that guy. So I can see Denver winning in six. Just because I think the other problem too, Randall, is I think Jokic is like he's not the fact that he's a beast and his game is so solid. I think he's just going to be really hard for anyone to stay with him in this series. I think Denver is going to win in six, but I it wouldn't necessarily surprise me if San Antonio does upset them. Guys, like I said, I think Denver is the most vulnerable out of these top teams to get upsetted.
I think they're the most vulnerable, but I you're really supporting your Canadian kin there, man. I respect Murray, but I don't see that in Murray. I don't see Murray being that guy carrying this team to go deep in the playoffs. Well,
I think it's going to be him and Jokic. Well, it's going to be more so Jokic, but I think he has the potential to be that guy if he sprouts out. Like it wouldn't surprise me if you know you all of a sudden you're like, yo, have you been watching what Murray's been doing this series? Like, yo, he's got like another 30 points in this game. Like, I can see situations where that may happen. But let's see.
I don't think this playoff matchup favors him. Mm-hmm. Nor do I think that he is consistent enough to carry a team far. I think he's a great player. Mm-hmm. I respect his game. You know, I like his moxie, but I don't think that I don't think he's there. And I don't know if he ever will be there.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll find out soon enough. But I think the biggest thing for him, though, is just everybody handles that first playoff series differently. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Let's see how he handles it. But I think if he's not afraid of the moment, and usually, above all else, he's gonna come and play hard. So yeah. I want to see what happens there. But if he can capture that moment, I think it could be a real good look for Canadian basketball, you know, as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a dog, right? He's a dog, right? And he helps turn that perception of Canadian players being soft. Mm-hmm. He's definitely not a soft Canadian player.
Nope, not at all.
Right? So he's a dog. The problem with him is that he relies a lot on his shot. He's not a pure creator other than his shot. And I mean, he could do a lot of different things. He's a scorer. But if his shot's off, I mean, that's basketball. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was funny. So I was talking to somebody today about this, and I don't want to get too off topic, but being a dog is somewhat innate in you. And if he has that, now does he have that Kobe in him?
I think he's got that dog in him, but I'm like, is it?
Does he have that Kobe in him?
I don't know. I mean, we'll find out.
You got dogs? You know, Beverly's a dog. Beverly's not a Kobe.
We'll find out. I mean, I won't put it on a Kobe level, obviously, but...
No. I'm not talking about Kobe talent.
No, I know
it's Kobe. That Mamba mentality.
I know what you're talking about. But, yeah,
I don't like Kobe. I'm not a Kobe fan. But when I seen that whole little documentary, short doc on that Mamba mentality, look, I'm a Kobe believer. Not a fan. I'm a believer.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out because, like I said, I can't say yes right now, but we'll find out how he adapts to this moment.
Yep, excited. That's gonna be probably my earmarked series right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're gonna get to mine just now. Next up, we got Portland versus Oklahoma City. What's the over and under on the amount of times that Westbrook finna snap? Is it gonna be 3.5?
Well, you know what? I think it's kind of one of those things where I think his passion is what makes him drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So if he snaps, I think that, you know, some people think it's kind of detrimental to the team. I think that it's going to help them. For some reason, don't you get that impression, OKC, that just don't got that grit? Other than like, you know, the star players. But the people around them, I feel they're just like, they're sitting back watching the show, and then they kind of add their little pieces, but they let the stars do their thing.
It's interesting. Part of the reason why I like that Schroeder trade last summer, mm-hmm, was because, mm-hmm, for moments like this, like, I always felt like, especially last year too, like, I always felt like in big, huge moments, you can't depend on Westbrook to make correct decisions consistently. And the reason why, not because he's a great player, not because I don't believe in his talent, because he doesn't know how to harness his emotions and his rage, which to me, like, in year 10, it's like, you know, year 9, year 10, at this stage, it's, I wouldn't say it's weird, it's just, you just, it's one of those things, you just got to be used to it. You just, it is what it is. It's like being somebody that you're married to, and you know every day that they don't put the clothes in the clothes basket, and just, you know, like, at this point, you're just like, all right, I'll just put it in the basket. Like, I just, you know, they're not going to wash the dishes. All right, I'll just put it in the dishwasher again. I'm just tired of arguing. Like, it's just, it is what it is. You know what I mean? He offers a lot, but, and don't get me wrong, I enjoy watching Westbrook. I love his intensity, but the fact that, like, last year, I felt like he got baited by Utah and by a rookie, you know, and like by Rubio. And I thought for a guy of his stature, I thought it was embarrassing. And to me, it's like, I don't think he really learned too much from that moment, because the last time they played Golden State, you know, I watched them get baited into fouls, like, you know, like, easily. And the old school part of me, you kind of like that. But in big moments, you can't depend on that guy to carry you through on, you know, with his decision making. That's my biggest knock with Westbrook. That's always been his biggest knock. But I like that the way Paul George has stepped up this year. And like I said, I think the more decisions got to be run through him, and he's got to share that responsibility of decision making between himself. And then there's going to be some games here and there where Schroeder's going to have to make that difference too. So I think that's where it's going to be a little interesting. I think for me, that this is like the series that I'm looking at the most, because I think both teams kind of need to get out of this first round. You know, and obviously it can't be both of them, right? Like, I think Portland needs it, because after the way they got swept last year by the Pelicans, and the Thunder need it because they haven't made it out of the first round since Durant left.
Yeah, yeah. My question to you is, are you calling out on this podcast?
Hey, why are you giving up the government? Why are you giving up the government? Why are you giving up the government? And nah, I ain't doing that. Honey, if you're listening, this, everything I said was an example. I ain't saying this is because of you. You don't do any of those things. I might do those things. Why are you trying to break up my relationship,
wow,
Randall?
That's great. That was good.
You like
that? Tell me why you're mad.
You like that? You like that? Why are you trying to break up my relationship, Randall? What are you, Maury? You trying to? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do?
Oh, Lordy. That's good. No, but I agree. I think right now that it's an interesting series and a dynamic, mm-hmm, but I you know what's really the X factor here? If you're going to ask what an X factor is, it's McCollum. McCollum's injured. Mm-hmm. He's coming back. Is he really 100%? In order to go on these playoff runs, Lillard can't shoulder all that. And with Nurkic out, you know, I just don't see this team beating OKC. I think OKC, the basketball gods are on OKC's side.
I think that Nurkic injury is the one that's going to come back and bite them in the ass. I think, honestly, Randall, I think if he was there, I would go with Portland. But I'm like you. I think like Cantor, I think there's going to be parts in the series where Cantor is going to get under Westbrook's skin and Westbrook is going to retaliate. But I just, I have the Thunder winning in 6-2 just because.
Did they play together at one point?
So yeah, they did. He was on the Thunder before. He was on the Thunder before he got traded to New York. To me, like, I think the X factor really depends on Westbrook, like, and his decision making. Like, if he's playing smart and efficient, and he's not in that pass it to Will mode, that Teen Wolf mode that, like, he was in last year, they should win. Every time they play the Blazers, they always seem to, like, I don't know. I always feel like he has their number, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think as long as he keeps himself in check, I think they should get by. All right, next up, we got Houston versus Utah. After the historic season that Harden had, Do you think he still has the energy to go on a long run?
His game is predicated on volume shooting, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's going to have to rely a little bit more on his facilitating, which he can do. So, like, instead of having these monstrous games of dropping 40, 50 points, mm-hmm. I think, you know, at 30, high 20s, and a little bit more in the assist column will help. But I'll tell you something what I've noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed it as well, is Chris Paul, man. Good Lord. he's had a horrible season, in my opinion. I don't see the synergies of what we anticipated to have when he first came over at all. Mm-hmm. He's like that banana boat crew is just is falling off that banana boat.
Mm-hmm. Basically,
you know, I don't know. Like, I think that, you know, how far they go, you need to have a supporting cast. Any team that goes on historic runs, it's not just one player. It's typically you have the Batman and Robin, right? If you go through every championship team, someone else steps up to help, or someone else has always been there for support.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular case, you know, if you look at how the roster is constructed, you know, Chris Paul is supposed to be that you know, the Robin, or sometimes the Batman. And I don't see him, you know, we saw it last year in the playoffs, right? He got injured and
yeah,
they just didn't have it. So, you know, I could see an upset here, if you even want to consider it an upset, because I like Utah. And I think Utah is the unassuming kind of dark horse in this whole thing, where I think they're the biggest threat, in my opinion, from the way their roster is constructed, to really play with defensively against the Warriors.
Oh, wow. Okay. I agree with everything with Chris Paul in the sense where, like, Chris Paul he's a great player, obviously. He doesn't have the greatest track record playoff wise, and now that he's getting older, he always gets hurt at the most inopportune time. Like last year, for example, you know, obviously he pulled his hamstring in game 5, and that kind of, I know everybody says, like, yo, if he was there, they would have won for sure. But, I mean, I don't know, you know. I don't know what else he would have done. But, like, you know, past years, he's gotten injured, you know, during the, like, when he was with the Clippers, he always got injured at the most inopportune times. I'm hoping maybe because he got injured earlier this season, maybe he's kind of gotten out of the way. It's funny. Like, I think D'Antoni has a way of burning guys out with a short rotation in the playoffs. He's pretty stubborn about that. And I just hope that Harden doesn't become the next guy to be the case where he burns out. Like, and he also has a habit of not playing as well in the playoffs as he does during the regular season. But I don't think it's because he short circuits. I just think he expends too much energy during the regular season. But with that said, I think he's on a mission, and I think this team is on the mission as well. And I think even though this is the rematch of last year's semifinal, I just think the result is going to be the same. I think they're clicking at the right time. They're getting guys back healthy now. They've won like 16 out of the last 19 games. Capella's in full Capella mode. Like I can see Utah giving a great series, and you know, like Donovan Mitchell is going to be a load like he usually is. I like Ingles and his personality. You know, Gobert is going to be a threat defensively as always. But I just think Harden is just too much on a tear right now for anyone on this team to stop him.
Yeah.
But I got Houston in 6. I just think it's a bad matchup for Utah personally.
Okay.
But I think Houston. I got Houston in 6. I'm gonna give Utah 2 games this year.
I think it either goes well for Houston or it goes bad. Like when I say bad, it goes in one of those grindhouse series where Utah. I don't see Utah clear cut favorite mm-hmm. at all. I mean, obviously Utah. I mean, Houston is the favorite, but I think right now is in regards to you're talking about Harden. I truly believe that, you know, Harden has trouble in the playoffs because it's a different type of game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a 7-game series, you could throw all types of schemes to slow down a player, and if he doesn't help get other players engaged who are not used to getting engaged throughout the season, it's going to be a tough gig.
Who do you have winning in this series?
I think Houston wins it, but I wouldn't be shocked if Utah pulls out an upset.
All right, so next up, We're going to move on to the Eastern Conference, and we're going to start off with the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Detroit Pistons. Is there any way that the Pistons take this series past five games?
I don't see it. Mm-hmm. No. I think five games is, you know, I don't see it. They don't even match up well, am I?
Right.
I think this is a short discussion. Whoever runs into that buzzsaw has to be like the monkey wrench mm-hmm. that breaks it down. Like it's Milwaukee's a buzzsaw right now, mm-hmm. and it's all predicated on how healthy Giannis is. Right, if Giannis goes to the playoffs, I think it's going to be a clear shot for them going to the Flyers.
And they're probably going to get Mirotić back by like game two at that latest, because it looks like he might even play game one. So yeah. I mean, here's the thing I expect in this series. I expect Blake to have a great series. Let's hope he doesn't also continue his tradition of getting injured during the first round of a playoff series. Andre Drummond is going to get a lot of rebounds. Reggie Jackson is going to have one of those games where you're going to wonder, like, why can't he play this well and this consistently all the time? And there's going to be two games in this series where they're going to get run off the floor. I don't see this being – I don't even want to give them – like, I can't – I think giving them three games might be enough. I think they should just forfeit the fourth game. obviously, nobody can stop Greek Freak right now. He's going to run wild on him, because the guys that you want that should be able to guard him athletically aren't the best one-on-one defenders. And – And I think the biggest thing for me, for when I watched the Pistons play, is that I think they're going to need to score on this team, which is tough because they're in the 20s for offensive pace, and the Bucks are actually the best defensive team in the NBA. So
there you go.
Yeah, so, I mean, as long as the Bucks stay healthy, I think that's the most important thing. Just win, just stay healthy, make sure everybody comes out of this round unscathed, and just prepare themselves for the next round. You know, Dwayne Casey's first season as a Pistons coach is, I guess, a success, because we weren't expecting much from them anyway, really. So
yeah.
So I guess it's par de course, I guess.
You know? I don't think it was so much a success. You know, I think they were always forecasted to be in the playoffs, and they just squeaked in.
Yeah.
You know, to me I think at one point I was like, wow, okay. Then they didn't really end the season as strong as I thought they would.
No, they really didn't.
So they're on the downslide, and Milwaukee's on the up, and they got to run into that bus side.
Oh, so obviously you have the Bucks in three like me, right? You have the Bucks in three?
Bucks in two.
Okay, got it. Bucks in two. Next up, we got the Boston Celtics versus the Indiana Pacers. Does the series get more interesting now that Marcus Smart is missing the series due to his oblique injury?
Not necessarily. I still think that Boston should take them. Mm-hmm. I think Boston wins it in a six game.
Yeah.
Convincingly. And I think it gives Boston some momentum for the following series. Because I think that's what they need right now. You know, I give them Boston in six. You know, I think the Pacers will push them, but I think Pacers really need Oladipo to help, get him over the hump.
This is where they're going to miss him.
Yeah.
I think what they've done since Oladipo's been hurt has been like it's a valiant effort. I'll say this: like I think they're the third best defensive team in the league. If they can keep games tight by just uglying up and muddying up the game, I think they got a shot to make it a long series. I like the way Bojan Bogdanović has stepped up in Vic's absence. Miles Turner is one of the best defensive players in the league. He's averaging almost three blocks a game. Sabonis' kid is way better than I thought he was going to be, Randall. I'm actually stunned by how well he's playing. I actually think he should be starting a lot of times, but... but he's been playing really well. I just don't see them being Boston either. And I think Boston's still the scariest X factor to me in the league, because I mean, obviously you see how the season went, like, you know, when we were doing the preseason podcast, you know, in terms of the preview, when we were doing the preview, I think we both had Boston being number one. And overall, like, out of all the, you know, the votes and stuff, we tallied up that Boston would be the number one team. But my one hitch was just the fact that, like, there's just too many chefs in the kitchen and there's only one kitchen. Yeah, there's only one stove. You know what I mean? So yeah, that was my biggest thing with them. But I even with that said, I still thought they would be way better. I didn't see them falling apart the way that they did. Like, they didn't even win 50 games this year. Like, that's shocking.
Yeah, but they had some injury plagues. Obviously, there were some chemistry issues. Big time chemistry issues. But you know what the biggest thing to me that's glaring, and it's gonna hurt them in a 7-game series, is they don't got that beef up front. And I thought they would go pick up some pieces that are on the waiver wire. Like, mm-hmm. I think they could have added a Gortat.
Yeah, I know he's not on the roster.
They have no. Like, come on, Aaron Baines, you know, God bless, you know, Al Horford. I think he had a great season, but Al Horford's not your prototypical big in a grind out series, right?
And I think he's kind of slowing down a little bit now. Like, I think he's really important to the team still, but I think he's kind of slowing down a bit now.
Yeah, and, you know, you got some bigs like Nader came into the East. You got, you know, Embiid. You got, you got Giannis. Even Brook Lopez. Even though he's like a stretch five, the size alone, you know, wears you down, right? And it pulls you out. And then you got, who else is the dominating big? There's a few in the East, you know, Drummond. All these bigs, they wear you down. And I don't know if they have that in a grind out 7-game series, if they can contend on the boards, it's going to hurt them.
Horford is, I think, their most important player. But you can see the years of being an undersized center is slowly starting to chip away at him. You know what I mean? I don't think he'll have trouble in this series. But I think Boston's hope is to, like, kind of get out of this pretty quickly, which I don't think they are. I think losing Marcus Smart actually is going to hurt them a little bit just because of his leadership and his intensity, even though they're definitely not going to miss his shot selection.
Or a shot.
No, not at all. But I think, like I said again, I think they're the scariest team in the East just because all it takes for them is just a click. And, I mean, while most times you're like, you can't really reverse season-long bad habits, it's not foreign for those scenarios to pop up. You know, I remember way back in the day, you know, this is like when we were in high school, but when Houston won the championship, when they were like a sixth seed and they're the only NBA champion to win every series starting from the road, and I think they beat 450 win teams on the way to win that championship. But like I still remember like the way they came into the playoffs, they were struggling the entire time. It's not out of the realm for that to click, because I mean I kind of liked how not Horford but Gordon Hayward's been playing to wrap up the season. Like, he's looking like the old Hayward now. So I think, like, between that and I think between the fact that they can kind of lean, like, well, we'll see what happens. The X factor for them is the fact of how well they played defensively, because if they can get back to that championship level type of defense, I think it opens everything else up for them. But like I said, but I think, you know, Indiana, like, it's one of those series where it's like they should try to get out of that series as quick as possible, because I think the longer it goes, the more physical that's going to get, and the, like, it's going to take more out of them than they need, because especially if they win that series, they got to go face the Greek Freak again, and he's motivated. You know, they beat them last year, right? So I think he wants revenge. They're going to need their full rest. They're going to need everybody there to take care of that. So I think it's one of those series, like I said again, but I see it being six, and I see it being like a hard six.
Yeah. No arguments there.
All right, so next up, we got Philadelphia versus Brooklyn. Seeing that this is Brooklyn's first time in the NBA playoffs since 2014, does that mean that Timberlands are all half off and all stores are full tomorrow? Yes or no?
Brooklyn. Yeah, you know what? I think this series may – I mean, obviously we all know that Philly's going to win, but I think this series is going to be a hard fight. Maybe six.
Mm-hmm. I think it might even go seven.
I don't know about that.
explain your point. I'll tell you why in a moment. But go on.
Personally, I think there's too much talent there's too much of a talent gap between the teams. Mm-hmm. Like, I can understand it, you know, that, you know, Brooklyn's playing some good team ball and all that.
Yeah.
But look, at the end of the day, there's way too much talent in a 7-game series that's going to push, you know, Philly over. And there's no one on that squad that can stop Embiid.
No.
You know what I mean? So let's be realistic. It's going to be a hard fought. You know, every game will be hard fought. But I can even potentially see them sweep in Brooklyn. Hmm. You know, I'm giving them a 6-game, and I say, like, you know, I think the first couple games Brooklyn will come up, it's hard, but I can't see them sustaining it against this team, especially in a 7-game series. You got all these guys rolling, you know, Jimmy going. I don't see it.
I think personally that one of the most important things in this is basically if that Timberland sale is half off, I think we need to catch a cheap flight and take advantage. I haven't owned a pair of classic Timberlands in a long time, Randall, so I deserve a pair just for old time's sake. I think
I'll be jumping in a million and I'll go half on gas.
but you know what? I'm rooting for Brooklyn because, like, for me, I really enjoyed this story. I love the way this organization has cultivated the talent. A lot of that is because they had no choice because they gave away all their picks the last half decade, but they really recovered as well as you could expect, and they got the best camaraderie. I think D'Angelo Russell is starting to finally realize his potential as a savvy point guard. You know, they've had Steals and Kuruk and, you know, Caris LeVert is, you know, like, he's, you know, he's basically got his starting to get his legs back. Their future is as bright as long as they can get a superstar in place. Philly, you know, obviously I think Philly's going to win this series too, because I think they, to agree with you, like, sorry, to touch on your point, they got the bigger stars and, you know, and they got Embiid. So I think that's the biggest thing. But I also think they got a couple to test these playoffs, because my thing is, what's going to happen to them if shit hits the fan? You know, are they gonna band together? Because they don't seem like they're the tightest team to me. And Butler is a guy that, like, you know, he definitely says this. He's definitely not afraid to share his points when the shit is hitting the fan. You know, so if they run into a situation like him, because Embiid's a little bit uncertain for game one, and if he doesn't play game one or Brooklyn takes one of these first two games, what's that gonna entail for them? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I kind of want to see. And then the other thing is, can they get Simmons to shoot jump shots? Because I still think he is going to be a liability. It's going to bite him hard in the ass. This especially if they move to the next round and they play the Raptors. Because I think that's going to be the biggest test for him. And I think last year he kind of got away with it because he was a rookie. I think this year he's going to have to hear a lot about it this offseason, because the fact that he can't shoot is a detriment to the rest of his game at mm-hmm. this level right now. And I think if Brooklyn, I'm not sure if Brooklyn could get him to do that, but because even last year, like, when they played Miami in the first round, like, they beat Miami in five, but, you know, a couple of bounces here or there, that series could have went 7-2. But, you know, like, they just weren't good enough. But I think Brooklyn is, they just play so hard all the time, and they don't really make a lot of mistakes. You know, so I think that's, like, the biggest thing. If they can stay with that, and, you know, like I said, especially if Embiid doesn't play game one and they can steal the first game, I think it could be really interesting. I'll go with Philly in six. I'll give Brooklyn two games, but I mean, it wouldn't shock me if it went seven and then Brooklyn just lost by like 10 or 15 points in game seven. But yeah. I could see being a long hard fought out series. I really can. And Jared Allen, props to, you know, shout out to Jared Allen as well, because, you know, he's a lot better than I thought he was going to be coming into the league as well.
Yeah, he's a good defensive big, and he's developed a lot even over the season. I just, full transparency, I don't think they're there yet. I honestly think, you know, we talk about dark horses? I think the dark horse, even if it is, consider him a dark horse, is Philly.
Yeah,
I mean, and I say when I refer to them as a dark horse in the East, I refer to them coming out of the East.
Coming out of the
East, I think they have the team to beat the talent, to beat the Raps. They have the talent to beat the Brooklyn Nets, and they have the talent, I think, to beat Milwaukee. It's just how the synergies are going to mend and all come together for this playoffs push, right?
All right, last but not least, we got the Toronto Raptors versus the Orlando Magic. Now, here's the question I'm going to ask you right now, because I figure we're probably going to focus on this last series the longest. You know, probably not too long, but just the longest anyway. But since we missed out on the golden opportunity to see the revenge of Dwayne Casey riding on Ghost Rider's motorcycle, going east on the 401 to come into Toronto, now that we missed out on that, Randall, are you prepared for the wrath of Terrence Ross, of T. Ross? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for T. Ross?
Oh, Lordy, Lord. Yeah. Listen, you know, you wanted that Detroit series so bad.
I really did. I really did. I really wanted that series badly, but go on. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm happy the Raps drew Orlando, because this couldn't be any better. You know, I personally think the Raps in the latter part of the season were not playing well. They lost a lot of games to fate, in my opinion. Like, they, you know, too close for comfort. Mm-hmm. When they had all their players back from injury, they started forming some chemistry was brewing, and all of a sudden, you know, they're losing against Charlotte to buzzer shots and losing this game and that game. I was concerned, not gonna lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, the matchup favors us, you know, and I think that it gives a chance for them to get going and kind of get rolling, right? And seeing what we can do with all these, you know, important pickups and from the off season and during free agency. I don't see this being a series. I mean, you were joking before about Milwaukee. I would joke with this and say, what, you know, are they going to be done in three? You know, like, that's my opinion.
Well, they should be. But Randall, I think the most important thing is you forgot to answer is, are you ready for the wrath of T. Rouse? Are you ready for T. Rouse?
Who's that?
Terrence Rouse. You ready for Who? Terrence Rouse?
Who?
Listen, man, he's, you know he's really found some consistency this season under Steve Clifford's guidance. Contract year. Sorry. So I got sneezed there. My bad. Sorry. I think this should be a sweep. I think it's going to be a tougher series than people think, just because of how well defensively Orlando plays. Like, people don't realize they're like eighth. They're like in the top 10 defensive teams in the league. And Vucevic has also had a great year as well.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing, you know, Gordon's there as well. But I think the biggest thing for them is the inexperience. Like, they haven't been to the playoffs basically since Dwight Howard was still a great player. You know, that was like 7-8 years ago. So no one on this roster has any significant role playoff-wise. And the Raptors have way too much motivation to go ahead to the next round. Like, there's just too much at stake. So I think because of that, I think this series, you know, I think it may go three. I think it's going to be a sweep, but I think it's actually going to be a little tighter than people think. Just only because Orlando plays good defense and they're long and they're lengthy. You know, they get a little bit of issues there. You know, they got a lengthy athletic team, and they're crafty and they play well defensively. You know, but Go ahead.
There's like you said, the tales of two seasons. So we know what the Raps can do in regular season, and we all kind of, there wasn't as much hype around the Raptors as there normally is, because we know what the Raps can do in regular season. But now, you know, it's time to show and prove. You know, and Kawhi, I'm sorry, man, Kawhi, this is his season now, because he didn't have a regular season. The guy played half of it.
So, He
rested all that time to say that, hey, this is his real season. And this is where he has to show his worth. He needs to put this team on his back, and he needs to get this team to where it needs to go.
But, Randall, you don't think he's going to put this team on his back, though? I think for everybody that's unfamiliar with playoff Kawhi, they should get ready from right now, get their popcorn ready, because I think he's going to be a menace from here on out.
But you can't just, but see, that's a problem. See, you can't just, you've been in sports long enough to know you can't just turn on this whole another level and player right away. It doesn't work like that. You have to ease it in. I have not seen Kawhi really, really, like, he's had some good games, but that dominating Kawhi that I've seen, I haven't seen that so much with the Raps. Mm-hmm. I've seen Pascal Siakam have more better performances than him.
I mean, let's see, because I think, like I said again, I think again, I wasn't a fan of the whole load management thing. He missed 22 games. I wasn't a fan of that either. But I always said two things. One, because of the contract situation, he's got Toronto in a vice. So you got to kind of, you know, support him in any way, shape, or form, however he feels. If he has a hangnail, sit him, if that's what makes him comfortable. And I think the other thing is, you know, he's made the comment too that, you know, this is the real season. This is what he prepares himself for. And, you know, I think it's time. Like, I think, again, like, this guy sat 22 games. He averaged 27 a game, you know, 2 steals, 6-7 rebounds. I thought he played well this season, but, like, you want more consistency especially with the amount of, like, you want to see, like, a bunch of, like, maybe like a 15-game stretch where he was just ripping through the whole league. Like, I know you kind of wanted to see that, and so did I, you know. But the load management issues always gotten away, you know. Mm-hmm. but with that said, like, I love Kawhi. Like, you know, I've always been a fan of Kawhi Leonard, and especially the last couple of years in San Antonio before all that shit hit the fan. But the playoff Kawhi is the guy that I love the most, because I know he's. When he's right, and when he's of you know, like, right right frame of mind, and, you know, is healthy and everything like that, like, he is tearing you apart. And I'm not even talking offensively, I'm talking defensively, which is what I can't wait for. And to me, the X factor in this whole series, I think, is just I want to see what the Raptors now do defensively, because I think between him and Green, Siakam's energy, I can't remember the last time I've been this excited to watch a player get ready to make that leap in the playoffs. Sorry, to get ready for the playoffs on the defensive side of the floor. Like, I really can't wait to see how he's gonna look defensively. You know, like, you know, so I think that's the biggest thing. And for Lowry, like, I'm not gonna say the pressure is off him, because the pressure is always gonna be on him when you're one of the best players. But I don't think it's like I said the last podcast. I don't think it's quite the same as it has been the other years, because you're not asking him to get you 20-25 a night. You're not asking him to be the superstar on the floor. You want him to play his role as great as he can possibly play it, knowing that Kawhi is going to be the guy, knowing that some nights Siakam is going to be that guy. You know, so knowing some nights that you can run the offense to, you know, those two players, you can run the offense to Gasol. You know, Van Vliet's there. Like you got options now where the offense is not all running through you. So I think, because of that, I think the pressure for him this time is a little bit different. But like I said, again, I mean, overall, I think the Raptors just have way too much motivation, and the Magic have way too, they got too little in experience. You know what I mean? Too little experience when it comes to the playoffs. So that's, to me, is the biggest thing. That's why I see this series going 2.5. Maybe 3. but with that said, though, before we wrap up, anything else you're looking out for this first round in terms of, like, players or anything like that that's like on your, like, to-do list to watch, and, you know, to look at what they're going to be doing?
Well, I think I agree with you with the whole Kawhi thing. I mean, as a diehard rap fan, I'm interested to see what the Raptors can do to push this team to get out of the East. I mean, he's the key. He's the X factor. I think everyone, all eyes on him, you know. You know, the other player, like I think you mentioned early on with Detroit, is Griffin. Like, I think he's another, you know, X factor to help Detroit make a push, right? Mm-hmm. You know, other than that, I mean, there's some interesting, you know, players out west as well. I really want to see how some of the Canadians do. I'm always have my radar on them, the young Murray and Shea. I'm always a big fan of Corey Joseph. I think he sustained things over in Indiana. But other than that, I mean, it's. I think you're going to see some, like you said, you're going to see some new legends pop up. I mean, I want to see the big bad Warriors. I want someone to take them down. I want people to. I hope one of these Western Conference teams can do it. I hope some new heroes, forge their own legacies.
Yeah, I think going forward, I think the biggest thing I can't wait for is the second round of the Eastern Conference. As long as it all shapes out the way it should and there's no upsets, like as long as Milwaukee, Philly, Toronto, and Boston make the next round, that round is something like that's can't miss TV. Like no. I'm gonna be watching every bit of those two series. Like I can't wait to watch the Eastern Conference going from that point on forward. Like I think it's gonna be a war, and like I can't wait to see it. Like I can't wait. And
well, you said it. I think that it's gonna be fun to have Embiid, walking in trash talking, and I think we got Gasol here for a reason. I think that matchup's gonna be extremely exciting to watch. I think that series between Toronto and Philly is gonna be legendary. Ooh, I think it's gonna be a battle. I don't know so much about Milwaukee and Boston. If Boston and Milwaukee and Philly were in a series together, that would be nice too.
Yeah.
But Milwaukee, man, I think we're the only team that matches up well in the East with them. If we can get by Philly, that's going to be an interesting series because I think Toronto can beat them. And you know what? I'll be honest with you, C, and I take full ownership on this. Is in our preseason podcast, I would have never, never thought Milwaukee would have had the season they had. Never. Now, I will say I thought they would get in the playoffs in my mind, and I thought there'd be a low to manage in the playoffs. But I didn't think Giannis was going to take that leap they did. And I didn't think Budenholzer, right? Or Budenholzer?
Yeah, Budenholzer.
Budenholzer was going to be that impactful on the team or have that much of an impact on the team than what you had alluded to. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Playoff basketball is a different brand of ball. And go Raptors, go.
All right, no doubt, sir. And once again, Randall, thank you for hopping on the podcast and thank you for taking time out of deciding whether you want to run against Trump or Trudeau to basically come on this podcast and share your thoughts on the first round, the predictions of the first round of the playoffs and breaking down the previews. So I definitely appreciate that as always.
Yes, sir.
And go ahead.
Yeah. And before we go, man, I do want to give a big shout out to my team breakdown, U14 Basketball Club. We're just going into our provincial weekend, and our record right now is 38-4 overall. We had a great season, won many championships in various venues. Unfortunately, our goal was to go to the Junior MBAs, but I want to say how proud we were. We fell short by 4 points of going on to the qualifier. That's a great team of bounce. But overall, I hope if any of the boys listen to this, that they know that they have bright futures. And, their careers, they have a lot to offer in, on the Canadian basketball landscape.
Tell them, Coach Carter. Tell them. Tell them, Coach Carter.
Yes, sir.
No doubt. No doubt. Thank you for listening to another episode of the AF Podcast, the Saturday Breakfast Special. It's been an honor being with you this morning. And special shout out goes out to Randall Walter for coming on to discuss the first round of the NBA playoffs. Much love, brother. While I'm glad you tuned in, just keep in mind that next week we'll be premiering the second episode of My Story, where we'll be featuring Zaria Santiago, the Canadian track and field star who is currently at the University of Maryland preparing to do big things this season. She shares her story as we follow her on her pursuit of realizing her dreams and her goals. That's going to be launched on Good Friday. I repeat, Good Friday. One more time for full effect, Good Friday. And starting from game two will be the Raptors post-game podcast, where we'll be breaking down each game for the majority of their playoff run. Make sure you subscribe and stay locked in to South Shore Ave. Continue to rate and review the shows as well, just like this one. And if you want to catch up on my entire catalog of podcast shows, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAve.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAve.com. And continue to listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, as well as Google Podcasts. All right? Cool. For Randall Walter, this is Cal C. And you just tuned in to the Ave Podcast on South Shore Ave Radio. Until the next podcast, folks. Peace. Good morning.